Hey everyone, and welcome back to Cyber Mornings Daily.
Yeah.
You know, we like to keep things snappy around here,
yeah,
right?
Keep it short and sweet.
Yeah, exactly. We try to bring you the most fascinating cybersecurity insights, but, you know, without taking a bite out of your precious time.
Absolutely.
So let's dive right in. Today we've got a really interesting deep dive for you.
Sounds good.
We've got three stories.
Right.
They're all kind of a wild ride. So first we've got a tale of chained exploits. Yeah, and they're going to make you think twice about those vulnerabilities that we, you know, kind of just brush aside sometimes.
The ones that seem minor.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Uh-huh.
And then we've got this hefty fine for a company that's practically synonymous with security.
Oh, wow.
Like you think of them, you think of security. And then finally, we've got a potential third-party beta breach that's sending ripples through the digital world.
Mm.
So
buckle up.
Yeah, buckle up.
It's going to be a bumpy ride.
It is going to be bumpy, but insightful.
Yeah.
And it all starts with this Ivanti appliance story. So, you know those vulnerabilities that sometimes we just kind of brush aside because they just seem kind of minor on their own?
Right.
Well, this is a perfect example of why we can't afford to do that.
Yeah.
Attackers, they're getting very crafty and they're chaining these smaller weaknesses together.
Yeah, they're getting really good at it.
To get some pretty significant results. It's scary.
It is like those old school domino chain reactions, you know?
Oh.
But instead of toppling colorful blocks, they're toppling entire systems.
Right.
And in this case, we're talking about Ivanti appliances specifically, versions 4.6 and earlier. And they are being targeted by a whole series of vulnerabilities. Now, individually, they might not seem like much. We're talking an administrative bypass here, a SQL injection there, even some remote code execution flaws. Okay. But when you string them all together, it's a recipe for disaster.
So hold on. Back up for a second. For those of us who aren't fluent in security jargon, break down what chained exploits actually means.
Sure. Imagine a burglar is trying to break into a house. Now they could try and kick down the front door, which is noisy and difficult.
Makes a lot of noise.
Or they could find a series of smaller weaknesses.
Like what?
An unlocked window.
Okay.
A loose doorknob.
Uh-huh.
A hidden key.
Yeah.
And quietly work their way inside. That's essentially what's happening with chained exploits.
Okay.
Attackers are exploiting multiple, often seemingly minor vulnerabilities in sequence to gain access and control.
So in this Ivanti case, what are the specific vulnerabilities they're chaining together?
Okay.
And what's the end game?
Well, so we've got a few players in this exploit chain. Each assigned a CVE number for easy reference.
Right.
There's CVE-2024-8963.
Okay.
Which allows for administrative bypass.
Mm.
CVE-2024-9379, which is our SQL injection vulnerability.
Okay.
And then CVE-2024-A190 and CVE-2024-9380, both of which allow for remote code execution. Now, on their own, these might not set off alarm bells for every security pro. But attackers are exploiting them in a very specific sequence, using one to leverage the next, and ultimately gaining full control of the Ivanti appliance.
That's pretty scary. So what can people who are using these appliances do to protect themselves? I mean, are we talking full-on system overhaul?
Well, the good news is
upgrading
to the latest version of the Ivanti appliance is the most effective way to close these security holes. But this story brings up a bigger point about how we approach vulnerability management.
Okay.
You see, a lot of organizations rely heavily on CVSS scores. That's the common vulnerability scoring system to prioritize patching efforts.
Mm-hmm.
And while CVSS scores can be helpful, they don't always tell the whole story.
So a vulnerability with a low CVSS score might not seem like a big deal on its own.
Right.
But as this Ivanti case shows, when you factor in the potential for chained exploits, those seemingly minor weaknesses can suddenly become major liabilities.
Yep.
It's like thinking you've just got a pesky mosquito bite
mm-hmm.
and then realizing it's actually a spider bite. That could lead to a whole bunch of complications.
Exactly. And that's why a more holistic approach to security is crucial. We can't just focus on patching the quote unquote big vulnerabilities or solely relying on CVSS scores. It's about understanding your entire attack surface, how different systems interact, and how even seemingly insignificant flaws can be exploited when chained together.
So it's not just about patching. It's about patching smart.
Patching smart.
Thinking about those ripple effects.
Thinking about the big picture.
Yeah. And that brings us to our next story.
Okay.
Which is a perfect example of how even companies that are known for their security can stumble. I'm talking about PayPal.
Oh, PayPal.
It just got hit with a $2 million fine.
No way. For security lapses.
Yeah. And the details are pretty eye-opening, even for a seasoned cybersecurity enthusiast like myself.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So let's get into that.
Let's dig in this PayPal situation, because honestly, it's a bit of a head scratcher. You think of PayPal, you think secure online transactions.
Exactly.
But even they can trip up. And this time it cost them a cool $2 million.
$2 million? For a company that processes billions of dollars? That's got to be pocket change for them.
It really is.
What exactly did they do to warrant that kind of fine?
Well, it's not really about the money.
Okay.
$2 million is nothing to sneeze at.
Right.
It's about the principle of the thing and the potential impact on consumer trust.
Right.
You see, PayPal rolled out a system for users to access their 1099 tax forms.
Okay.
Sounds simple enough, right?
Yeah.
Well, the system had some flaws, some serious flaws.
Like what?
That ended up exposing customers' social security numbers.
Wait, social security numbers. Exposed. That's like the holy grail for identity thieves.
Exactly. And the New York State Department of Financial Services didn't mess around. They launched an investigation and found that PayPal's security practices were lacking on multiple levels. Think insufficient multi-factor authentication. Weak access controls, and basically a whole bunch of gaps in their policies regarding identity management and data protection.
So I'm starting to see why that fine was issued. But how does a company like PayPal, with all of their resources and expertise, let something like this happen? It seems so basic, especially for a financial giant.
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
It really is.
It highlights a crucial point. Security is not a set-it-and-forget-it kind of deal. It requires continuous vigilance,
right,
assessment, and a commitment to best practices,
right,
at every level of an organization from the top down.
So it's not just about having the right technology in place.
Right.
It's about having the right mindset, the right culture of security.
Absolutely. And that's a lesson that applies to organizations of all sizes,
right,
not just the PayPals of the world, whether you're a global corporation or a small startup.
Uh-huh.
The core principles of security remain the same. Strong authentication,
okay,
robust access controls, data protection, and comprehensive policies.
Yeah.
These are the foundational pillars.
You know, it's easy to think, oh, that's a big company problem. But this PayPal situation is a wake-up call for all of us.
Right. It can happen to anybody.
Yeah, we need to be reviewing our own security policies.
Absolutely.
And procedures, making sure that we're not overlooking the basics.
Exactly. It's like checking the smoke detectors in your house.
Oh, yeah.
You might not think about them every day.
Right.
But you sure want them to work when you need them.
Exactly. Security's the same way. It's about being proactive, not reactive.
Being proactive, not reactive. That's the key.
And speaking of proactive, our final story today takes us into the murky world of third-party data breaches.
Third-party data breaches, they're becoming increasingly common.
They are.
And increasingly scary.
Yeah. This time, it's a telecommunications company called TalkTalk.
TalkTalk.
That's in the hot seat. And the details are still unfolding. Apparently, they're investigating a potential data breach involving one of their suppliers, a company called CSG Ascendon.
CSG Ascendon. Ah, yes. The TalkTalk incident. It's a case that really underscores how interconnected we are in this digital age,
right,
and how a single point of weakness can create a ripple effect that impacts countless others.
So this one started with reports of a massive data leak. Something like 18.9 million TalkTalk customers.
Wow.
Potentially affected. But then TalkTalk clarified that the actual number is much lower, and that the data originated from the CSG Ascendon platform, not directly from their own systems.
Interesting.
So what's the real story here?
Well, it seems that the threat actor who claimed responsibility for the incident clarified that they gained access not through a direct attack on TalkTalk,
okay,
but through an exploit targeting CSG Ascendon's platform.
So it wasn't a TalkTalk breach.
Yeah.
Or rather, a CSG Ascendon breach.
Exactly. That indirectly impacted TalkTalk customers.
So it's like that saying, you're only as strong as your weakest link.
You got it.
Yeah.
Even if TalkTalk had their own security locked down tight,
right,
a vulnerability in their supplier system created an opening for attackers.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And that's why third-party risk management is so crucial.
It really is. It's not enough to just secure your own house.
Yeah.
You need to make sure the houses you're connected to are secure as well.
This is making me think about all the different vendors and service providers we rely on in our own lives.
For sure.
Email platforms, cloud storage.
Payment processors.
Payment processors, social media. The list goes on and on.
It does.
It's kind of overwhelming when you start thinking about all the potential points of vulnerability.
It is. But it's not about getting overwhelmed.
Okay.
It's about being aware and taking steps to mitigate those risks.
Right.
And it starts with due diligence. Before you engage with any vendor, especially one that will be handling sensitive data, you need to vet them thoroughly.
Okay.
Ask tough questions.
About what?
About their security practices, their incident response plans,
okay.
their overall posture.
Yeah. Don't be shy about asking for documentation, certifications, even third-party security audits. You have a right to know how your data is being protected.
Absolutely.
And once you've selected a vendor, make sure you have a solid contract in place
right.
that clearly outlines their security obligations, data encryption requirements, access controls, breach notification procedures, mm-hmm. even penalties for failing to meet those standards. It all needs to be spelled out.
It all needs to be there in writing, black and white.
Right. And let's not forget about ongoing monitoring.
Oh, that's so important. You need to stay informed about any security incidents or vulnerabilities affecting your vendors. And be prepared to act quickly if something goes wrong. It's about being proactive, not just reactive.
All this talk about third-party risk
mm-hmm.
is making me wonder, what are some practical steps listeners can take to assess and manage those risks?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we don't all have cybersecurity teams at our disposal.
That's a great question, and it's one we should definitely delve into.
Okay, so let's get into that.
Let's do it.
So let's get into that.
All right, so let's tackle this thorny issue of third-party risk management.
Yeah, it can feel kind of overwhelming, especially for those who don't, you know, live and breathe cybersecurity.
Not everyone's a security expert.
Yeah.
So let's break it down into some practical steps that anyone can take.
Sounds good.
First off, let's acknowledge that you don't need a fancy cybersecurity team to start taking control of these third-party risks. It's all about building a layered approach.
All right.
Starting with those foundational elements we talked about earlier, due diligence is key.
So important. Don't be afraid to grill those potential vendors about their security practices.
Absolutely. Ask those tough questions.
Yeah, it's like dating.
Right.
Right? You wouldn't just jump into a serious relationship
right.
without getting to know the person first.
Exactly.
Same goes for vendors. Ask for details about their security policies,
mm-hmm.
procedures, incident response plans. Don't just take their word for it.
Right. Ask for proof.
Yeah. Ask for certifications, audit reports, anything that kind of demonstrates that commitment to security.
Absolutely. And once you've chosen a vendor,
okay.
make sure that all those security requirements
right.
are clearly outlined in your contract. Spell out things like data encryption standards, access controls, breach notification procedures, even penalties for non-compliance.
Okay, so this might sound a little intense, but it's really about protecting yourself.
Exactly.
Think of it as an insurance policy for your data. And once that contract is signed, the work's not over.
It's not a one-time thing.
Ongoing monitoring is so crucial.
So crucial.
Stay informed about any security incidents or vulnerabilities that might affect your vendors.
Stay vigilant. There are plenty of resources out there to help with that.
Like what?
Security news sites, industry blogs, even threat intelligence platforms.
Right. They can provide valuable insights
mm-hmm.
into the latest threats and vulnerabilities. And don't forget about the human element.
Oh, the human element. Right. So important.
Okay. Your employees who interact with these third parties, they need to be trained on security best practices.
Absolutely. They need to understand the importance of strong passwords, phishing awareness, and data protection.
It's all about creating that culture of security awareness throughout your organization.
Exactly. Everyone needs to be on board.
You know, this whole conversation about third-party risk, it's making me think back to our first story about those chained exploits targeting Avanti appliances.
Oh, yeah, I see the connection. It's like those vulnerabilities are a microcosm of the larger cybersecurity landscape.
Exactly. One seemingly small weakness can have a ripple effect that extends far beyond its initial point of impact.
It's true. And it really reinforces this idea that cybersecurity is a shared responsibility. We all have a role to play in creating a safer and more secure digital world.
Right.
Whether it's being diligent about our own security practices
mm-hmm.
or holding our vendors accountable for theirs.
And on that note, let's wrap up today's deep dive.
Sounds good. With a key takeaway.
It's not enough to just focus on our own security.
Right.
We need to be thinking about the entire ecosystem. The interconnected web of vendors and service providers that we rely on.
The whole picture.
Yeah, because as we've seen today, a vulnerability in one part of that web can weaken the entire structure.
Well said. So listeners, as you go about your day, take a moment to think about those third parties that you interact with. Are you confident in their security practices? Have you taken steps to mitigate those risks? These are questions we should all be asking ourselves regularly.
And remember, knowledge is power. The more we understand about the threats we face, the better equipped we'll be to defend against them. Thanks for joining us on Cyber Mornings Daily, folks. Stay vigilant, stay informed, and stay safe out there.
Until next time.
So what are some of those practical steps?
Yeah, great question. So let's get practical. First off, you know, we talked about due diligence, right?
Right.
Vetting those vendors thoroughly. But what does that actually look like?
Yeah, what are we actually doing?
So start by asking for their security policies, their procedures, how they handle incidents. Don't be afraid to get into the nitty-gritty.
Okay.
You know, ask about things like data encryption, access controls, employee training,
mm-hmm.
and of course, what happens if there is a breach.
What about certifications?
Certifications are great. You know, they can give you some level of assurance that the vendor meets certain security standards.
Okay.
Look for things like ISO 27001 SOC2. Those are good indicators.
So those are good signs.
Yeah, good signs. And don't be afraid to ask for proof. You know, ask for audit reports, penetration testing results, anything that can give you more confidence in their security posture.
And of course, once you've chosen a vendor.
Right. Make sure all of those security requirements are spelled out in your contract.
So we're talking data encryption standards, right?
Exactly.
Access controls, breach notification procedures, all of that needs to be in writing.
It's all about having that paper trail in case something goes wrong.
And speaking of things going wrong,
right,
we've got to talk about ongoing monitoring.
Oh, absolutely. This is where things get really interesting.
Yeah.
Because you can't just set it and forget it.
You can't just assume that everything's going to be fine.
Exactly. You got to stay vigilant.
So how do we do that?
Well, there are a few things you can do.
Okay.
First, stay informed about security incidents and vulnerabilities. There are tons of resources out there.
Like what?
Security news sites, industry blogs, threat intelligence platforms.
So we're talking like threat post Krebs on security.
Exactly. Those are great places to start.
And those are going to keep us up to date on the latest threats.
Absolutely. And they'll give you some insights into how to mitigate them.
Okay. So we're staying informed. What else?
Well, think about implementing security rating services.
Security rating services.
Yeah. Yeah. They're like credit scores for cybersecurity.
Interesting. So they give us a quick snapshot.
Exactly.
Of a vendor's security posture.
Mm-hmm.
Based on publicly available information.
And that can be really helpful in getting a sense of their overall risk.
And finally, don't forget about communication.
Oh, communication is key. You need to have open lines of communication with your vendors.
Mm-hmm.
Ask them about their security practices, their incident response plans,
okay.
and how they're addressing emerging threats.
So basically, we need to be proactive.
Absolutely. Don't wait for something bad to happen.
Right.
Stay ahead of the curve.
You know, this has been a really eye-opening deep dive.
It has been.
I think the biggest takeaway for me is that cybersecurity is not just about technology.
It's so much more than that.
It's about people and processes and culture. It's about taking a holistic approach.
The big picture, and that's what it's all about.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your expertise with us today.
My pleasure. It's been a great conversation.
And to our listeners, thanks for joining us on Cyber Mornings Daily. We'll see you next time.
Stay safe out there.